Thank you, team. Now, for all of you with obsessive compulsive disorder, I'm just going to do this now. You can all relax. Morena te whānau o te atua. My name is Helen Brereton, and it is such a privilege to be with you this morning, opening God's word this morning. Let us pray. Lord, right here, in this place, help us to listen well to what you want us to hear. Let our minds be where our bodies are today, so that when we leave this place, we will know you better and we will love you more. Amen. So you're sitting here, you've lost an hour's sleep, the election is finally over. Some of you will have stayed up late to watch the coverage. So who here is just a wee bit tired this morning? Yeah. And for those of you who can't be here this morning, not because you've slept in, but for some reason you're not here, but you're going to be listening to this later, we say hello. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will bless you as you listen to God's word, which we are going to read right now. If you've got your Bibles with you, you want to be opening to Luke's Gospel near the front of the New Testament, and I'm going to be reading from chapter 6. So I'll give you a minute to find it if you've got your Bible in paper or on your phone. Chapter 6, starting from verse 6. On another Sabbath, Jesus went into the synagogue and was teaching. And a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." So the man stood up. Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm? To save life or to destroy it?" He looked around at them all and then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." The man did so, and his hand was completely restored. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they were furious, and they began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. And if you haven't guessed from the reading, we're going to be looking at Sabbaths today. Hand on your heart, who here has a Sabbath every single week? How many of you? Okay, how many of you have tried in the past? Starting a Sabbath habit, it's hard work. But it's one of the challenges I've set myself in my training to be a pastor, because I don't want to burn out and I don't want to hurt those that I love. I actually heard a funny story about Sabbath last week from a young fellow. He came bounding into my office through this rip in the space-time continuum that's under my desk. You didn't know about that, did you, Russell? So can you imagine, out of this wormhole pops a small Jewish boy, smelling a little bit, well, country. And he's really excited. He's like, "Oh, miss, have you heard about that bloke with the funny hand in my cousin's town? You know, the one that no one likes because he eats his food with the same hand he wipes. You know the one, miss. Anyhow, it turns out that fella Jesus from Nazareth, he healed him. And get this, on the Sabbath." You should have seen those Pharisees. They were spitting chips. I tell you, some of them were so angry, their faces were blue. It was funny. Funnier than Israel's funniest home videos, even. See, we were down visiting my cousin, and the party lasted a bit long, so we ended up being stuck in his village for Sabbath. But the whānau was pretty excited because they'd heard Jesus of Nazareth was going to be there, and they'd heard he was a really good speaker. And he was staying at the village, which meant that he would be in the synagogue. See, I'd heard that Jesus was really good at riling people up, annoying people. So I made sure I found a comfy seat right down the back just in case it got boring. I mean, just in case I needed to pray. But it's all right, Jesus turned up, so I settled in for the service. And guess what happened, miss? Guess, go on. Well, I couldn't guess. So he continued, he said, miss, some ninja Pharisees turned up. They snuck in and they had a seat down the back and they were watching Jesus on the down low. I thought, ooh, what's happening here? I asked my cousin and he said, well, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they're trying to catch Jesus out. Because it turns out a few Sabbaths ago, Jesus' boys had been picking grain in the field and eating it, working on the Sabbath, and they'd bailed Jesus up about it. But he had turned to them and said, read your Bibles better. In 1 Samuel, King David and his men taught us that it's okay to help people who are starving any day of the week, even on a Sabbath. But miss, it's a bit confusing, really. I mean, I don't follow the goss, but even I heard about how on a Sabbath, Jesus healed that man with the demons. And then Peter's mother-in-law, I heard that he healed her too. And everyone that was there, they were amazed. And they started telling everyone. And with all of that, whenever Jesus spoke, people started listening. And he started speaking for us, and I have to say, he was really pretty good. But all the time, those Pharisees, they were giving him the side eye. And then, oh, miss, Jesus noticed that guy with the funny hand. Whoa. It was like watching one of those sci-fi movies. You know the ones where all the heads turn around at exactly the same time. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they were licking their lips. They were just waiting for Jesus to do something wrong so that they could nail him for breaking Sabbath. Well, Jesus, he looks at the guy with the funny hand and he says to him, Etu, stand up. Haerenmai, come here. And he did. I mean, wouldn't you, if there was a chance that your hand could be fixed, wouldn't you want to stand up? A chance that you could hold your head up in society again, you could go back to the temple, that you wouldn't be teased and bullied? So there's this guy with the funny hand. He's just standing there. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they're just waiting to see what's going to happen. Ha! But sucks to be them, because Jesus knew exactly what they were thinking. And he called them out on it. Straight up, he turns to them and says, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm? To save a life or destroy it? And then Jesus, as cool as cucumber, cooler even than that Bowden Barrett guy, he says, stretch out your hand. Not abracadabra, not wash your hand in the river seven times, but stretch out your hand. It was unreal. That bloke, he looked at his hand, and then he started stretching it out. Oh, it was amazing. It was a bit freaky, But it was amazing. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they went off their nut. They totally lost the plot. They were waving their hands. One guy was even frothing at the mouth. He was that angry. Meanwhile, our guy's over in the corner getting hugs from his whānau. They're so happy for him. But Jesus' mates, Peter and his cousins and Levi, they're off over here and they're looking a bit confused, actually. Jesus, he just walks out, gets a bit of peace maybe. But you know, as I tell you now, miss, no one thanked Jesus. And no one gave glory to God. It's the weirdest Sabbath I've been to in a long time, miss. And it's really confusing. So I've come to ask you what you think. Why were the Pharisees and teachers of the law so angry about what Jesus did, miss? Why were they so angry? How would you have answered that boy? Turn to the person sitting next to you and have a korero around that. If you're a bit of an introvert, talk to yourself. How would you have answered him? I love the sound of people discussing God's word together. It's a cool sound. Here's what I told him. I said, son, keeping Sabbath is a big deal because it reminds us of who God is and what God has done for us. When we break Sabbath, we are dissing God. And when we dishonor God, we have to be punished. Oh, miss, that's a bit extreme. I said, remember how God made the heavens and the earth in 6 days and then rested on the seventh? And he's like, yeah, I totally learned that in Sabbath school. But I explained the reason why we can rest is because we can. The reason why we rest is because we can. Because God made and sustains a world that is truly amazing. That this world is so well organized and so full of good things that when we rest, we are recognizing, acknowledging, and praising God's creativity, his power, his generosity. When we keep Sabbath, we are showing that we trust God to look after us. We are showing that we depend on God, not the other way around. See, the world tries to tell us that we're only valuable if we are productive. That we can only have good things if we work hard or earn our way. So when we stop and when we rest, we experience grace in a radical way, a radical new way. Because even when we aren't doing anything, God blesses us anyway. For a whole day, we live in grace, in the truth that God's love is ours because he has freely given it to us. I tussled this boy's head. I said, you thought that healing was radical? I think God's grace is even more radical. And then I said to him, boy, As awesome as this is, there's more to Sabbath. I said, we also keep Sabbath because on our Sabbath we remember how God rescued his people from bondage and slavery. How he took them out of a bad place and put them in a good land. I knelt down to this little boy and I said to him, the Pharisees and the teachers know that breaking Sabbath is bad because it makes God look small to the rest of the world. When we break Sabbath, we are telling everyone that we don't trust God, that we don't trust him to look after us, not even for 24 hours. We're also telling the world that we're not thankful for what he's done for us, that we don't think that what he's done is that big a deal. Straight up, we're telling lies about who God is when we do not stop and rest. And that's why breaking Sabbath is a sin. Now I'm picking that kid understood me because he said, huh, that makes sense. Keeping Sabbath is like a big testimony because it's where we tell the world how awesome God is and how trustworthy he is and how much we love him. But miss, why did Jesus heal that man on the Sabbath? I mean, it's not like he was going to die. I mean, Jesus could have waited until the next day to heal him, huh? Well, that's a pretty good question, isn't it? It's a smart kid. This is what I said to him. I said, the Pharisees and the scribes, they were only partly right, because Sabbath tells us more about God than even they realized. Their view of God was so narrow. They thought that Sabbath was about remembering what God had already done. But Jesus is saying something different. Sabbath also teaches about what God is doing now, right now, that God is still rescuing and redeeming people, that God is still helping set people free and healing them so that they can join in their communities fully without fear, without shame, without pain. See, in your day, son, this man with a crippled hand, he's an outcast. He's seen as dirty, as suspicious. With one hand, he probably can't get or keep a decent job. His chance of being able to get a wife and support children, there's no unemployment or disability allowance. That guy would have lived pretty close to falling through the cracks. Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that, and he made it possible for this man to live free again, free from fear, free from shame. How cool is that? Oh, miss, that is cool. See, miss, I know God is good, he said. I know that God made everything to be good. And I know that God rescued my ancestors from the slaves. But miss, are you saying that God still does good things for us? Are you saying that he still rescues people? Miss, are you saying that Jesus is God? Miss, I've got to go. I've got to speak to Jesus. And with that, he jumped back through the wormhole back home. It's a funny kid, such a funny kid. But after he left, I kept thinking about our korero. I kept thinking about Sabbath. You see, I can give you heaps of reasons why you should keep Sabbath. I can tell you heaps of stories around why Jesus got in so much trouble over Sabbath. I can teach you to keep Sabbath because it shows you what I believe and what you believe about God. But telling you and doing, that's a different story, eh? So what do your Sabbath habits tell the world about how you love God? What do your Sabbath habits teach the world around you about God? If you take a regular Sabbath, is it because the Bible tells you to? Or because you think God will get angry with you if you don't? Or do you keep Sabbath because you know it testifies to who God is? Now, a lot of good faith-filled Christians will say, Sabbath is Old Testament. Because of Jesus, we don't have to follow the law anymore, Helen. Well, up until recently, I was one of those good faith-filled Christians who believed that. But here's a couple of things I've had to grapple with. Jesus Christ, God the Son, kept Sabbath. Now, Jesus challenged the way that the Pharisees and the teachers kept Sabbath. He didn't challenge the practice of keeping Sabbath. When Jesus was on trial for his life in front of the Sanhedrin, he wasn't charged with breaking Sabbath. Now, that was punishable by death. That would have been an easy way for them to get rid of the problem that was Jesus of Nazareth. But obviously, there was no evidence to show that Jesus broke Sabbath. Exodus 20 and 31 and Deuteronomy 5, it says really clearly both Jews and the non-Jews in a house are to keep Sabbath. And in Mark 2, 27, Jesus said Sabbath is for humankind, which tells us that Sabbath is not just for the people of Israel. Sabbath is the fourth commandment. Now, the commandments are Old Testament law. But we keep the other nine, don't we? I mean, I will confess, 5, 9, and 10 are hard, but we still try and keep them. So what makes Sabbath keeping different? I can't say I've got the Sabbath thing nailed. There's lots going on in my life and yours that make it hard. External forces. Things that challenge me from the outside. Good causes. I'd love to be part of Four Seas on a Monday morning. And my Sabbath starts midday Sunday and finishes midday Monday. So I have to sit with missing out in order to keep Sabbath. News and social media. I can tell you my best Sabbaths are the days when I remember to turn my iPad off and to turn notifications off. Sports activities, kids' activities, work dues, being rostered on, children's ministry and worship regularly, all of these challenges in our modern day can make it really hard to find time in our week to rest. So what are the outside pressures that are making it hard for you to do Sabbath? And then there's internal pressures. I'm a procrastinator. Those of you who know me well will know that. And part of the reason I'm a procrastinator is because I'm a perfectionist. If I know that I can't do a job well, I'll put off starting that job. And that causes pressure in my workflow, and then I have to work outside of normal hours to do crucial things like getting sermons written on time. What if you worry about other people's opinions of you? And so you overwork to avoid criticism or earn their approval. What if you just have really poor boundary setting skills and you can't say no? Or what if you have really bad FOMO, a really bad fear of missing out on stuff? You might have a martyr complex. If I don't step in and rescue this, it's going to fall over. You might have a saviour complex. I'm the only one who knows how to fix this problem. What are the things on the inside making it hard for you to keep Sabbath? Hopefully today's message has challenged you around this fourth commandment. It's challenged you to see that keeping Sabbath is still important for all of God's people. But even if I hadn't brought this message, even if I hadn't preached from this text this morning, surely the rate of burnout in our churches and in our community, the rate of family breakdown in here and out there, the rise in anxiety disorders, depression, mental illness, addiction, surely all of this is evidence that our relentless busyness is slowly killing us. How can we love God, love each other, and love the lost when our tanks are empty and we don't stop long enough to hear God's still, small voice? My friends, I'm coming to believe that in our world today, one of the best gifts we can give our family and our community is resuming the practice of keeping Sabbath. When you leave the auditorium this morning, there will be a brochure for you, which contains a lot of what I've talked on this morning, but it also contains some really practical ways for you to start taking Sabbath. It contains some of the things I've learned as I've journeyed along the way. Home groups, I especially encourage you, make it your project for the rest of this year to learn about Sabbath, to encourage each other to start it, and to hold each other accountable to keep it. Families, make this a big rock in your jar. It's going to be hard work. I know that. I'm still struggling with it, and I've been trying to do this for a few years now. It will be hard. There will be a lot of reasons for you to not take a day of rest. But I promise you, it is so worth it. For your sake, for your family's sake, for this community's sake, for God's sake, let us keep Sabbath. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence amongst us today. We thank you for illuminating God's word to us, for opening our ears. We thank you for the message that you have planted in our heart. But we need your help. We need you to do some heavy lifting for us. You know better than us the forces that are going to make it hard for us to rest. Protect us and inspire us and energize us to rest so that we can remember who you are and what you've done for us and what you are doing for us and what you will do for us. Amen.